the four cups of redemption. The Lord Jesus that night when he instituted the Lord's Supper, when he held the first communion service in history, he would have partaken of four cups, four different cups. And though scripture does not state and refer to those four cups yet, we know from historians like Josephus and Alfred Eidersheim that the Saviour would have partaken of the four cups at the Passover. And so, friends, I want us to think this morning about these four cups and to bring gospel lessons from them. So the first cup we want to talk about this morning to you is called by the Jews, when they have the Passover, it's called the cup of sanctification. The cup of sanctification. Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, I will bring you out from under the burdens. I will bring you out. That's sanctification. The Lord is going to sanctify his ancient people Israel, the Jews. He's going to separate them. And folks, that's what sanctification means. To separate, to set apart. And there in Egypt, sanctification took place. Sanctification of a nation. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt, out from under Egypt's bondage. How did the Lord bring his ancient people out? Well, if I can use the illustration of an eagle. You see, friends, there was a great eagle that swooped down to Egypt all those years ago. And the eagle landed. We're not talking about Eddie the Eagle. You'll remember way back, I think it was 1988, at the Winter Olympics, there was a ski jumper who represented Great Britain and they called him Eddie the Eagle. Only problem was he wasn't much good at ski jumping because he came last. But that's the nickname that he got, Eddie the Eagle. Now we're not talking about that. Folks, we're talking today about the Lord. And you know in scripture the Lord is likened to the eagle. Listen to the words of Exodus chapter 19. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. The Lord is speaking after the Exodus. He has brought his people out. He has sanctified them. They have drunk, as it were, from the cup of sanctification. And the Lord is saying, like a great eagle, I swooped down into Egypt to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Other birds carry their young between their legs, but not the eagle. The eagle carries its young on its wings. Other birds carry their little ones between their legs because they are afraid of birds that can fly higher, swooping down and taking the young from their wings. But not the eagle. No, the eagle's not afraid. You know why the eagle's not afraid? Because the eagle is the highest bird. The eagle flies highest. And folks, there's no bird that flies as high as the eagle. All the other birds are underneath the eagle. And there's no fear there, and that's why the eagle carries its young on its wings. Aye, it's the highest of all the birds. I want to just tell you today, folks, remind you in case the devil has been telling you something different this past week, and in fact these past months, the Lord is the highest. Aye, he's the highest of all. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. You not remember how Daniel spoke of the Most High? And how the Most High rules in the affairs of men? Do you think the Lord has been sovereign these past 4 months? Of course he has. Hasn't been easy. We've all had our ups and downs. Maybe you've had a lot of downs. Well, join the club. But I'm glad that we worship the Most High today. We worship the great Eagle who carries us. And yes, if you are a believer, if your faith is in the blood of Christ, then know for a surety today that the great Eagle is carrying you. The Lord is carrying you. And he will always carry you. In fact, he will carry you until you arrive in your eternal home. Remember, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have no abiding city here. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. Here have we no abiding city. We're not going to be here forever, you know. And that's why we need to live for the things that really matter. The cup of sanctification, I will bring you out. Then let me speak to you for a moment or two about the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance, the Lord Jesus that night in Matthew 26 with his disciples, he would have partaken of the cup of deliverance. Exodus 6 refers to this cup. Verse 6 again, if you look at it there, if you have your own Bible, I will rid you out of their bondage. I will rid you out of their bondage. In other words, I will deliver you. It's the cup of deliverance. The Lord is saying to his ancient people, you're going to drink from the cup of deliverance, and I'm going to do the work. Just leave it to me. The cup of deliverance. Isn't it good that we can be delivered from wrath? We who deserve the wrath of God, we can be delivered from that wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9, ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I know that many of you today have been delivered from the wrath to come, and I want to encourage you to rejoice in your deliverance. And how is it that you have been delivered from that wrath? Well, it's because of the Lord Jesus taking your wrath on Calvary. You deserve the fire and brimstone, the same fire and brimstone that fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And I deserved it too, but Jesus took our place at the cross, and he took the fire and brimstone. And he died, and all hell cheered and laughed. But I tell you, the Lord Jesus wiped the smirk of hell's face 3 days later when he rose from the dead. I want to tell you, good folks, today as we draw toward the end of our service, there is no antidote like the resurrection of Christ for a fearful believer. Brother Timmy, who will be covering when we're away, he told me about a wee lady in his church who was taken into the Causeway Hospital with coronavirus over Easter. And on Easter morning, that wee lady sat up in her hospital bed and she shouted, Christ is risen, hallelujah. Christ is risen, hallelujah. You know how old she was, or how old she is? 80 years of age. 80 years old. She knew how to get the victory. She had been delivered from the wrath to come. And I want to tell you as well, she had been delivered from her fears. She had been delivered from fear. And I want to say this morning, there's a lot of folk who need to be delivered from their fears. And if you've come into the church today, well, first of all, I commend you for coming. But I want to say, if you've come in today and you're controlled with fear, there's a fear that you cannot shake off. I want to tell you about the Lord of glory who died and rose again, and he can deliver you from your fears. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Don't you just love those words? Delivered me from all my fears. Doesn't say delivered me from most of my fears. Doesn't say delivered me from all my fears apart from the fear of COVID-19. All my fears. And what we're talking about here, friends, is irrational fear. Please don't mistake me today. Don't get the wrong end of the stick this morning. I'm not talking about fear in itself, normal fear, because let's face it, every one of us from day to day, there are times whenever that kind of fear wells up in our hearts. We're all the same. But I'm talking about irrational fear. There's a whole lot of people today, and sadly a lot of Christians, who are controlled and gripped by irrational fear. The kind of fear that makes them do irrational things. Things that don't make sense. Things that are not logical. Things that would suggest that there's something badly wrong. See, whenever you're controlled by irrational fear, you will do the strangest things, and Christians will do the strangest things. There's a lot of it about today. Whole lot of Christian people today, afraid to come to church, afraid to come to God's house. And that's irrational fear. Because, friends, when we come into God's house, we're coming into our Father's house, into our friend's house. Friend of sinners, the one who loves us, shed his blood for us, the one who promises that he'll cover us with his feathers and will shelter under his wings. And our friends, into the house of a friend, our best friend. It's nice to go to your friend's house, isn't it? See, whenever you're coming to church, you're going to a friend's house. I don't think you need to be afraid of going to a friend's house. He can deliver you from your fears. Oh, those folk are afraid to take communion. There's that irrational fear. Afraid to obey a command of the Lord. Irrational fear. That's what the psalmist is talking about. And I want to tell you folks, as I lift the cup of deliverance today, the Lord can deliver you from your irrational fears. That's if you want to be delivered. The cup of redemption. We're nearly finished. Third cup, the cup of redemption. This is the cup that the Lord Jesus would have drank from in the upper room. The cup of redemption. Exodus 6 verse 6. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. The Lord has redeemed many of you with a stretched out arm. Do you know when he redeemed you? When he stretched out his arm upon Calvary's cross. Ah, he did. That's when it took place. 2,000 years ago. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is "For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Ah, God bless those of you who have been redeemed. Rejoice today. Rejoice, O Christian. Don't let the devil enslave you with his fears. But let me speak for a moment to those of you who perhaps are not redeemed. You see, we've been talking today about fears. And perhaps your fears are a telltale sign that you have actually never been redeemed. Could it be that you've never been redeemed? You can't say with the hymn writer, "I am redeemed, oh praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. And when I reach that world more bright than mortal ever dreamed, I'll cast my crown at Jesus' feet and cry, redeemed, redeemed, I am redeemed, I am redeemed. I'll sing it o'er and o'er. I am redeemed, oh praise the Lord, redeemed forevermore." If you can't say those words honestly from your heart today, come and drink from the cup of redemption. You know what's in this cup today? Jesus' precious blood. That's how redemption has been purchased. The cup of acceptance. The fourth cup. "I will take you to me for a people." Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. The Lord Jesus actually referred to this fourth cup in Matthew 26, verse 29. "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This cup speaks to us of the second coming of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again. It speaks of eternity. Whenever this world will have passed away, and all the rulers and the tyrants will have been put down, and Christ alone shall reign forever and ever. Oh, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Surely you couldn't come to any other conclusion after the past 4 months. You take, for example, just one sign of his coming. We're told of it in Luke chapter 21. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Surely these past times, men's hearts have been failing them for fear. Even Christians. And it's back to this irrational fear. Luke 21 goes on, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Ah, he's coming again. That's all that really matters, folks, you know. That's all, honestly, that really matters. "Coming for me," the hymn writer said, "coming for me. One day to earth he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Oh, how I praise him. He's coming for me." Ah, but were you able to say those words, "He's coming for me"? If you were able to say those words from your heart, if he is coming for you, rejoice. Never let the devil steal away your joy. I mean, never. But if you cannot honestly say those words from your heart, and if you are not ready for the second coming of Christ, what's my message to you today? You need to drink from the cup of acceptance. You need to accept Christ. You need to receive him. And you see, friend, if you will accept him and receive him, do you know what? He'll reciprocate. He'll accept you and he'll receive you. It's a two-way thing. Come and drink from the four cups of redemption today. The cup of sanctification. And the cup of deliverance. And the cup of redemption. And the cup of acceptance. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful redemption that you have provided for us. What a wonderful redemption. Never can a mortal know how my sins, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. We pray today that someone will drink from the cup of redemption. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.